Hi, you're listening to People Are Strange, a podcast starring me, Andy,
and me, JK. Please be advised, this show contains strong language and explicit descriptions of adult situations.
People Are Strange is not intended to promote the use of drugs or a life in the arts.
If you do decide to experiment, please do so from an informed and responsible place.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Because after all, people are strange.
So, today, we're joined in the studio by our good friend. Today we're joined in the studio by our good friend Jesse James, who is a visual artist. Well, what do you think of yourself as?
I'm like a visual artist, because I do a lot of different mediums. So I do like street art, I do, you know, digital art, but you know, it's all visual, so
word. Visual artist. All visual. I like that. Hell yeah.
Optical artist.
You know, you started out doing music, right?
Yeah. So back in, what was it, 2007, 2008, I went to college for studio production and wanted to be like a DJ, did like mixing and stuff like that. And I was into the, like you were saying, the crazy stuff, like all the...
Kind of make you feel like you're in a different state of mind.
I remember you had a speak and spell that you up and screwed around with.
I still have that speak and spell. I am Satan.
Yeah. Basically. Hello.
Oh man.
How are you?
So how'd you make the transition from music to graphic art?
I mean,
street art.
So I had my sights set on it. I knew I wanted to be a DJ, and I thought that's what was my life, and that's what I wanted to do.
Had you done it before you decided to study it, or were you just kind of intrigued by that kind of world and that kind of idea?
Well, the idea was great, and I was really intrigued in it, and before I studied it, I did just my own personal production. So all through high school, I was putting out tracks under this moniker that I hate now, but...
Come on, you gotta say what it is.
Jamlick.
Jamlick. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
It was something that I liked to do, but I kind of realized quickly that it wasn't good. I didn't think it was really good. I'm gonna be honest about it. I don't think it was particularly what I wanted. It didn't fulfill me as an artist.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I wanted more out of it, and I watched this film called Basquiat. It was by Julian Schnabel, and it was like an art film. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it was that my idea of visual art was very technical, and I wanted to, like, when I looked at art, I really hated it, to be honest. Like, most of my life, I didn't want to be a visual artist because I was like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I can't draw the Mona Lisa. Like, I can't do these technical, highly technical things. So, I mean, in that area of art, I just kind of ignored it. So, mm-hmm. because music to me was much more open with how you could express yourself. Mm. You know, you have your set rules, like obviously it has to be in time and stuff like that, but it wasn't as closed in as I had thought. But then when I watched this film, Basquiat was one of those people that he was a black artist in Brooklyn and all this other stuff, and he was just putting out this heartfelt things that weren't technical, they were just expressive.
Hmm.
It was kind of like Jackson Pollock and all that
stuff. Yeah, uh-huh. More the emotion.
Yeah, it was more emotional, and when I saw it, I was like, man, I can do this. Like, if he can do this, then he's like a historical figure of significance. Mm-hmm. And like after that film, I went and bought like a copper, I remember it was black, white, and copper, and I bought a little canvas, and I went in my room over like across the street, and I painted my first painting, and like right as I put the first brush stroke down, I was like, this is what I want to do.
That's awesome.
So it was so tight. So after that, I mean, I kind of dropped like the whole idea that I was going to be the superstar DJ, and then I was like, in my head, like,
now you have this like headspace.
Sure, so a plan of like what you're like, working towards.
So instead of like me in front of thousands like playing the, you know, the turntables or whatever, the cigarette smoking, you know, I was in a gallery smoking a cigarette.
So. And entertaining exactly people yeah. coming up to you.
Yeah, coming. Yeah.
Talk to me about this piece.
Yeah, yeah. Man, show me about this.
Yes, oh, nice. I painted this in 2004. Symbolizes pain. And over here and over there.
But yeah, I mean, people always try and like evoke this thing where they want to take like one of my images and they want to really understand it. Mm-hmm. And they want to understand it from my point of view. And the thing about it is, like, when I paint something, I don't want you to see my point of view. I want to see your point of view, mm-hmm. like, what you see in it, you know? And so they'll ask me, like, yeah, what is this about? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I looked over here, and then I was like, fuck that. And then I was like, over here, and I was like, nah. And then I was like, over here, and then I was like, painted over that over there. And then I was like, black looks good. All black. Black on black, you know? That's kind of the progression. And what's interesting about the show this week is that it's a complete kind of like circular like motion where I had one of my first shows at Tsunami, and it was nice to come back
into
that
space.
And it was much bigger pieces and much like a different style too, like a different aesthetic to it, where it had like a black and white mostly, and now I've added a lot of color. There's a lot more geometry to it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, a lot of your like graphic artwork, you know, really kind of makes me think of like sci-fi and stuff.
Yeah.
Just 'cause it's like those sort of scapes that are reminiscent of like space or other planets and shit. And they sort of just, you know, when you were talking earlier about like people always wanting to assign like a meaning to something, a lot of times I find much more value in like a piece of art that just evokes like a certain feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sort of when I kind of look at some of the stuff you've done, it kind of makes me feel like I'm on like an alien planet.
Yeah.
It's like the escape of it. And that I find inspiring, you know, because like I like to think about sci-fi shit.
Yeah.
I see something.
Well, and see, that's great that, you know, with that kind of interest, that's kind of what you take away from it. Not saying that those kind of elements don't exist in it, but Jesse, you were talking about how you enjoy hearing the audience's kind of perception of the piece. Do you find that like fulfilling as like a part of the process to also like engage in that conversation with the audience and kind of
I mean, that's what it's all about, right? And that's what I like about the public art space too, is because you have a grander audience with that. Uh-huh. Not only do you see like the people that I want to go to the galleries and want that like kind of that visual, like they have like a predisposition to have like this art eye to it.
Sure.
But with public art, you have like homeless people that come up to you and they're like, well, I used to be an architect. Like I was in Miami and I was painting like this like really geometric, like very like architectural looking like lines and stuff like that. And this homeless guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. You know, just painting this mural. He's like, I used to be an architect about 20 years ago. I was like, what happened? You know? Like, because that, you know, fell into bad times.
The building
like,
collapsed.
Yeah, right. So, but he was like, I look and I see like a building, and I'm looking at this thing, and it's very much like a building, you know, like how he's visualizing this and how he's looking at it. And that's what I like about that kind of that conversation, especially in a public space, is that the real thing about you know, taking street art, and what I love about the street art element of my like artistic endeavors, is that you have these people that they didn't pay to see that. They didn't specifically go. They just stumbled on it. And that's the great thing about street art too, is that it's unsanctioned, and there's a democracy to it too. And it's a very democratic way of proposing your ideas.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in terms of anybody can do it. And it can be bad, it could be good, right?
And they can paint over it if they didn't.
And they can paint over it if they want to. So, and the people really kind of show that, where in Wynwood in Miami, if your piece is bad, it's not going to last. Because people will just tag over it, or they'll, you know, like, they call it, like, quote-unquote dissing, where they'll put their tag over it, and that just means, like, we don't like this stuff.
Council of Street Artists.
Yeah, it's the Council of Street Artists.
Right? But, if you do something worthwhile, then will they leave it up there?
Yeah, they'll let it run for years and years and years. Uh-huh. Or, I mean, if it's somebody that's really respected, you know, you'll see stuff from, like, 1978.
Wow.
Still like ridiculous thing. But that's what I mean about this kind of democracy, where it governs itself. And the good stuff stays, the bad stuff goes away, and sometimes, you know, the good stuff does go away, but that always has like a kind of organic effect.
Kind of cycle of flow.
Yeah, a cycle and a flow.
So in addition to having gallery shows, like you touched on, you work, I know, up in Baltimore, and you were saying in Miami with, make sure I'm getting the name of the program right, is it Wall Hunters, or?
Well, Wall Hunters is one of my friends, my good friends, actually, and he kind of got into that whole thing. But Wall Hunters is a program that they specifically do, like, activating, like, the row homes and things like that. They do their art to have, like, a political like spiel to it, so okay. they want all eyes on the real problem in Baltimore, which is like vacants.
Sure. So for those who don't know what that is, they like find these kind of old abandoned buildings that are kind of blights on the neighborhood, and then they paint these beautiful works of art on the outside of them to give kind of the community something better to look at.
Yeah.
But they don't have permission to do it on these buildings.
Yeah, it's completely illegal.
A lot of the times the owners of the buildings live far away and are just kind of holding on to the property, waiting for the value to change or something
slumlords.
Like that.
Yeah, slumlords. Yeah, so what they'll do is, like, you'll have these fat cats going, they live in Manhattan or whatever.
Fat cats.
Yeah, fat
literally,
cats. Yeah,
fat
literally cats. Fat beasts. Gigantic fat cats.
So pumpkins.
Yeah, they have, like, little voice boxes so that they can speak and stuff. Yeah, so they're just like, it's like Scrooge McDuck. They're
New York is crazy, man.
Yeah, they're just swimming money all day, right? Yeah. They take and they put the murals up on these vacants, because there's about like 4,000 different vacants just in Baltimore alone. Jeez. You'll have entire blocks. You know you're in the ghetto when nobody lives there.
Right.
You know, like you're driving through and this is the bad
just
neighborhood.
Just boarded up buildings.
Because nobody is even there, you know, and it's really sad. It's a fact, though, of Baltimore. But they try to activate that and have all the eyes on it.
Justice prevails.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Well, the thing about it is people don't realize that a lot of these places are row homes. So anybody that has a home next to one of these, like, just burnt out, awful places that they're just sitting on, it's going to fall down, which means the other houses are going to fall down as well. Or they have rats, or they have, you know, like, whatever's going
on. Sure. Insulation, infestation, all sorts of...
Yeah, horrible, horrible things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that's a completely different, like, mindset for how you can use street art for a positive. And co-founded Articulate Baltimore.
Okay.
And we were doing the same thing, but it was on the west side of the city. So the west side is a blighted area too, and it used to be like very prominent with North Howard. You had Hustlers and a whole bunch of other things, but once Hustlers moved out of that...
Not Hustlers.
Not Hustlers. No, that's...
not Larry Flynn's club. That's still there.
It's still kicking. But Hustlers was this club. Yeah, I know, right? Like... They should just totally make Hustlers put together. Yeah, you know, you could buy your, like... Your
it would
button.
Be so confusing, though. You'd be constantly walking into the wrong place.
Your button down.
Trying to get a button down instead. There's
got glitter all over
it. Yeah, it's got, the Herbies of arts and crafts.
Yeah,
it's terrible. But so they moved out of the area, and they call it the Super Block. And, you know, Madam Mayor was trying to just, like, take that entire area and revitalize it. So it linked up really nicely that we came in, and we had no idea that the mayor's, like, initiative was trying to do that as well. So we were like, oh, this looks like a good place, and it just synced together perfectly.
Nice.
And we were able to put up 7 different murals in North Howard, Mulberry, and Franklin, that sort of area, with international artists that we brought from Italy, Vancouver, South Africa, like Johannesburg, and you see all of these different, like, styles.
Oh, wow,
you
know? Yeah.
And, like, it's very interesting. What I saw is, like, the people from Sao Paulo have, like, vibrant colors, like purples and rich, like, reds and stuff. And then the people from, like, Berlin are, like, black and white, and they're, like, angular. Just like, it's very much like where they come from dictates how they kind of express themselves, which I know is, like, it's an obvious thing, but when you really see it,
when you see it on one street, like, all right next to
you're
each
just
other,
like,
kind of all these corners of the,
like,
world. And
I,
like,
remember that, and that guy's totally German because that's how he paints.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was a good experience because you got to see other cultures and how they looked at art, and then you also got to network with some of the bigwigs for Baltimore.
Sure,
these are very important, powerful people that can do a lot of things. And the good thing about the city is that once you know those people, you have a precedent. Mm-hmm. And you could, and once you've done something successfully, you can really activate other initiatives very quickly. Because it's just a small consulate of people. Like, they all meet together. Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, it wholly and benefits the community too.
Yeah, right.
And that was our mission statement. That was our value proposition. And that's how we kind of, and we took a lot of different precedents from the past too. It's kind of like a circular thing where these successes make this success, but this success makes that, and it kind of goes around.
Sure. Learn from what has like worked and not worked in the past, and then learn from experiences on that as well, and carry that into the next thing.
Exactly. Like, don't paint in a hurricane.
Yeah, we were talking.
You gotta try it.
Yeah, you gotta try it to find out, right? Like, we got a time limit.
Was this in Miami or is this in Baltimore?
This was in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
I had a crazy guy. I love him. His name's Jacopo.
Oh, and he was on a lift?
And he was on the lift.
Oh,
and
no.
The Italians, I swear, are the craziest people I've ever met in my life. So he goes, seriously, man. So I want you to get up on the 80-foot lift with me. And he has like the seriously and... What is it? In actuality. Seriously, in actuality. That is like his favorite English words are seriously and in actuality, man.
That's good choice on this part.
Yeah, it's like great choices, right? So he's like, seriously, man, so in actuality, we should get on this 80-foot lift and like just and just like crank this up as far as we can. And
meanwhile, there's 70 mile per hour winds swirling around.
So anyway,
lightning.
So he has this little Nike thing, because he used to work for Nike. He has this little raincoat, and he's trying to paint this in the biggest thing that we have, like the biggest mural that we
and it's raining
offered. And it's raining,
it's hurricane,
and it's hurricaning, oh, and there's lightning coming down, and I'm gonna get up on an 80-foot metal pole, right? Like, not insulated.
Feel a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So with like where the, you know, you look down, and the grate is obviously it's not covered, so you see like straight down. And the wind,
the grate in the lift, you
yeah,
mean.
In the lift, uh-huh. Yeah, and like the lift itself is like waving because it's so far up and it's fully extended that you know you have so much weight on this thing that it's starting.
The wind's
to move
just
around.
Blowing it,
yeah,
around.
But like moving it around. Uh-huh. So I was like, so Jacopo, I just wanted to like let you know that I'm kind of scared of heights. And he's like, and he's like, yo, you want to be a bitch, man? So he's like, call me a bitch, like
no, your own city, your own state.
he's like, you know how far I've traveled to do this meal.
Oh, man.
I've got to do this meal. And he's like, so if you're going to be a... And he's
adventure
like, yeah, he's like lecturing me on this. So, and I respect him wholly for it. But I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get up on the lift. I'll do this. Like, I'll help you out. He's like, so if you want to be a street artist, you have to know that you're going to go up like 80 different stories. Like, you have to get into this, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like trying
teaching
to coach
you
me. And, yeah. So he's like, get in the lift. So he's like, I'm the director, okay? I direct
you
this.
Here.
Yeah, I brought you here. So anyway, we get up on this thing, and I'm just like, you know, going up in the lift. And we're going up like 8 stories. This is insanity. So this is the biggest lift that we have on the biggest wall, and he wants to go to the very top to make a damn circle.
Oh my
and then
gosh.
I'm like, I don't want to make the circle. And so I'm at the top, and the one thing out of all of my like dreams since I was in high school of being this grand artist, and then when I found street art, I wanted to be this great street artist. In this moment, all I had to say was, fuck this, I don't want to be an artist anymore. I said, I don't want to do street art. I want to be on the ground, so I want work. McDonald's, I want a
put
home.
Put me in a studio again.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a studio.
On the gallery.
Yeah, I want to be in a gallery. Yeah. I don't want to do anything. I don't want anything to do with it.
Dangling from the rope over some
yeah,
building.
Yeah, I'm like on this 8-story building on this awful thing with lightning striking around me. So he just goes, okay, so this is what we're going to do. He's like, I've got the string and I'm going to nail the string and then I'm going to put it around my spray paint bottle and I'm going to take it around in a circle and then you're going to move the lift as I do the circle. And I was like, this is insanity.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this at all. So he gets out and he gets up, so you have the basket, right? And I'm hooked onto this thing. He's not hooked onto this thing. We're like visibly getting blown around.
And
moving back and forth. And he gets out of the basket, and he's hanging on to the basket.
From the outside. From 8 stories up. From 8 stories up.
This guy has zero fear. He's so he goes, all right, take it down. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, man?
And he
goes, yeah, I'm painting. What do you think?
In actuality, I am painting.
Seriously, man. Seriously, man, if you don't take this down, I'm going to hurt you. So I take it down, and like this, it was the craziest thing I've ever done.
Did you do it? You actually made it happen?
Made the circle happen. Yeah,
In the hurricane.
We finished it out. Hurricane Sandy, I think it was.
Oh, man.
And we actually finished this crap. And I can't even believe, because it took him, you know, a couple of days to make this enormous painting.
Wow.
That was all black and white. And his style is just incredible, because the way that his lines come together, it's like an optical illusion. Very op art kind of thing. Where you look at it and it starts to move because it's in these directions and stuff that it's just the way that your eye perceives it, but it starts to like seethe around the circle. And the circle is perfect. I don't know how he did it with like a hammer, a piece, like a nail, a string, a piece of string,
just worked this circle.
He considered that he might be a black magician.
Dude is a witch.
He might have done something to you up on that.
Yeah, I'll show you on the teddy bear later on. Yeah, so we did that, and then it was just like, day after day, he had just the craziest stuff just happened to him. So we were doing our gallery opening that was in tangent, like in parallel with the program, so that we could show other things too. I'm trying to manage this gallery show, and I'm gonna take a tour for the different murals, and I have a whole bunch of very important people. And we're looking at this art, looking at actually one of my pieces, and somebody runs up and goes, yo, there's a SWAT team and they're trying to take Jacopo away. And I'm like, what? There's a SWAT team? And you hear the helicopter, and you always hear helicopters in Baltimore.
Sure.
But the helicopter is hovering over Jacopo. They actually have two helicopters hovering over. So
is that necessary? Is that really necessary?
This is taxpaying dollars,
yeah.
Right? So we like run. Like, I'm like, sorry guys, I have to cut the tour short, and we're like running down.
Oh shit, in front of all these big wigs that you're trying to, wait a second, we're getting arrested.
Yeah. This is what happened to artists. Don't worry about it.
And I had no idea.
Only means we're legitimate.
Right? And I had no idea what was going on, if he was like smoking a pipe up on, you know, like, I don't know what Italians
do. Two helicopters on him.
Yeah,
like
I don't know what's going on, right?
And so, he's from out of the country.
Oh. He has like a work like visa thing for like a week, right? So deportation is a very serious thing too. So I mean, so I'm like running, we're like both running, and we get over there, and they have a SWAT van, like a SWAT van there with like SWAT members, and like people are just, there's so many police cars for this thing. That I don't know why this is in Baltimore,
where it's like real things happening, like murders.
You're at an art gallery.
Yeah, we're at an art gallery opening. This guy's like painting a beautiful picture, and honestly, if he was doing it illegally, just let him do it because it was great.
So this is while he was working on the piece. Oh my god! And they brought SWAT teams and helicopters.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going anywhere. He's been working on it for a while.
I know, right?
He's not going to get off this 80-foot.
He should have just brought all the investors out. Look at who we have. It's like the Baltimore money is right here.
Yeah, I'm sure the investors want to have pictures taken negotiating with the SWAT team. They probably got their hand in the greasy pot. I'm watching The Wire, I know.
One of them just like motions to the head SWAT guy, just like, I see him. He's like, all right, back down.
So anyway, that kind of happened. So we had the director of the Baltimore Museum of Art come with us.
Oh, wow.
And she's the nicest person. She's like
the black magic.
Yeah, she's like the most powerful person, and you know, she's very
in the world.
She's in the world. Yeah,
in the world of Baltimore art.
In Baltimore art, she is the de facto like person. So, She comes with us, and you know, she's she like walks up and she goes, "What are you guys doing?" Like very curt to the police people, and we're like trying to negotiate, and we don't have our right of entry on us and stuff, and he doesn't have his visa
because they see you as just some punk ass kid, but they see her as like, a legitimate figure,
And they know who she is too. So I was thinking, I just wanted to point at the 80-foot lift and be like, if this guy is doing illegal work, he is very talented because this this is enormous lift, like this is a crane, like. So
it's quite an operation that you've got out here, and you know, a good amount of gall to just set up this 80-foot lift for some illegal operation.
It's like I just spent $3,000 on this lift, and I just decided,
no problem, take it away, impound it, no skin off my back.
So she goes, "What are you guys doing? This is, you know, sanctioned by the city, the, you know, the mayor. If I have to call up the mayor, all this blah blah blah." And once she said that, she like laid it down to these people.
Fuck yeah!
And they were like, they were like, "Whoa, okay." We're gonna leave.
Two helicopters. Whoa. Go back to base.
Yeah, and the helicopters are like circling around, and Jacopo this whole time is still painting.
Oh my god, dude.
They were like, get down.
This is the circle.
Yeah,
this is the
they're not taking me away.
I will not do this. In actuality, you can't do shit to me. I'm painting.
So he's like smoking a cigarette on the thing, and he's just like, I was like, Jacopo, what are you doing? He's like, I'm painting. I don't care. He's like, I don't care about you guys. So I was like, yeah, we'll handle
American
this.
American policemen don't mean shit.
He's like, you guys are wuss. Yes, wuss.
That's
I was
so
like,
funny.
Get out of here. What are you doing? So he's still painting. He doesn't give a rat's ass what's going on.
True badass.
But, he was
a real
badass.
Street artist.
Yeah, he was a real street artist.
Wow.
But that was my fondest memories of any kind of, I think we went on a major tangent, but.
No, that's great because some of our questions were for your most fun and your strangest experience. Yeah, I think that might cover
those are it.
Yeah.
Those are it.
So now you brought these guys in from like various places around the world to work on this project in Baltimore. I mean, I assume through that you kind of made contacts with people who are now out in various places in the world doing street art. I mean, do you have interest in traveling and like visiting them and doing shit? Like,
what's interesting about it is once you make those connections, street art community is very small. So you always have like 1 degree away from some of the big names like Shepard Fairey or Banksy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like those prints that you saw at Tsunami you know, this week, those were printed at the same studio that Banksy and Shepard Fairey print at. So I mean, it's not like name dropping, it's just the fact that you just run into these.
It's just a small, you know what I mean? Small layer of separation between.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You go down to Miami and you're like, yeah, that's Shepard Fairey, or yeah, that's blah blah blah, or that's Invader, or these are like some big time people.
And they're down there right next to you working in the shadows.
Working like normal people, and they'll talk to you, and they're not rock stars any more than anybody else is. But you see and you
really, so they're still down to earth if you were to engage with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have like 70 different assistants on the high end.
Do you think street artists would like fuck with them and like mess with their shit if they kind of tried to like highball them or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's that's what I'm talking about with that democracy, is that it really does kind of level you out too.
Hmm.
Where if you start losing grip with your stuff's not even going to last.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No one's going to see it.
Yeah, if you think you're hot shit, it'll get extinguished. Like somebody will like just spray a bunch of paint over it the day you finish, or even in the middle of what you finish.
Yeah, some of the best stuff that's being made now is stuff that is not, you know, at all made to be marketable. You know, it's like free model kind of stuff. Like, you know, there is that Radiohead album that was released, be pay what you want, that sort of model and
like
stuff.
Rainbow.
A lot of the stuff that's being made that way is being made really, really well because it's all based with community interaction. So if you're, you know, fucking with your fan base in one way or another by being too pretentious or being, you know, you're losing touch with them, you're not going to get that money from them anymore because they have the option of not giving it.
Well, and aside from money, just that kind of, we talked about kind of that the democracy on the streets and that kind of respect, and just the fact that you are using this public space, so anyone else could go up and spray right over that, but the good shit, you know, sometimes lasts and the kind of the other shit doesn't. And so just kind of that balance keeping itself in check.
Yeah, it's like a justice, you know, like if Shepard Fairey's, and he has had his stuff, a lot of people don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami, he put up this beautiful thing with this, it was a collaboration with this guy called Risk, And Risk is a very respected graffiti artist, but he pissed off some crew and they just extinguished over this thing that was so elaborate and so beautiful. Mm. Probably $10,000 worth of work, you know.
Wow.
You know, on that high end stuff, and these people are paid, you know, massive amounts of money. And they just
gone.
2 seconds. Sorry, you know, you're not here.
And that's the risk that you take when you put yourself in that kind of like public forum. Yeah. That's why you kind of have to maintain that, I guess, good relationship with your
so when you're living outside the law, you know, you can't depend on the cops to protect your artwork. Yeah, it's illegal.
And what are you going to get? The three security guards to stand and guard this abandoned
My illegal artwork is being defaced right now.
Yeah, right. So I always try to get the homeless people. Those are my police. If you make friends with the homeless people,
carry around a pocket full of crack rocks.
Just like those mini bottles of booze. Just pass out a couple mini bottles.
I call them jump offs.
99 bananas.
Yeah, the 99 bananas jump offs. And you have a bunch of crack rocks and jump offs and some slices of pizza, and those people will police your stuff. Like down in Miami, I did the mural, and I talked to this homeless guy and I gave him a pizza and a Subway sandwich, and I was like, I want you to give this pizza to all your friends and I want you to police my wall. And he's like, I'll do anything, man, this is tight.
Was he still there when you got back?
And it's still there, apparently. He's policing my stuff, so nice, I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, just making, you know, not putting yourself apart from the community, but recognizing that all these people are, you know, this is his street as much as it is anyone else. Like, he's gonna be looking at your artwork.
He wants some nice artwork,
just like anyone else.
Basically just decorated his room for
him. Yeah, right. Yeah, he was sleeping on the wall anyway, so I was just like, and it, you know, it is about putting yourself not above those people and really engaging with the community.
Sure.
Them, like, see the positive effects.
Sure. I'm not seeing it as just some, like, outsider coming in, but, you know, someone who actually cares about what's going on. Yeah. Why are you involved in the arts? Why do you feel this kind of need to be involved?
I was talking to somebody that I'm collaborating with currently and going to be doing future shows with them, is that it is a lot like a crack addiction. And not in like the bad way, but like you have this hit and you remember it and you chase that hit forever. And you want it to be the next best thing. And when you have these really good pieces that come around every so often, and every artist has them where you look back and you're like, oh my God, that piece is amazing. I want that piece over and over. I want that feeling that I created.
Do you get that performance high from like actually putting the piece up, or is it like working on it?
The moment that you step away from it, because you go into a zen. For me, at least, I go into the zen, this like high, right? And I'm just doing it, and you're working furiously on it, and then you step back. And I can't tell you how the hell I've done a lot of my paintings. Just I step back and I'm like, wow, that wasn't me. Like, that was a totally subconscious version of
you.
I was a conduit for this, like, thing that just came out. And that is the moment that you're just like, oh, my God. Like, this is the high.
Does it hit you when you step back and look at it, or when you're able to share it with someone else and then kind of have that conversation of how it's hitting them?
It's definitely a personal thing. So when it hits me and it vibes with me and it resonates, that's the point that I like.
Because,
like, I love different people's perceptions, and I'll be like, oh, well, that's really cool that you see that, but it's nowhere near the kind of high that I step back, and I'm like, oh, my God.
If you don't feel something about it.
This is, like, some serious, seriously.
It's like vomiting a live animal onto a canvas.
You can't say that in every interview.
You're vomiting.
I'm going to reuse that for the rest of time.
No, that is a perfect way of saying it, because, like, and that's the reason why I keep doing it, is the pure necessity of trying to express the things that are coming out of my head that I don't even know how that I want, or even what I want to express. It's purely subconscious stuff.
So do you start sometimes on a project and just kind of see where it goes, or do you have kind of an end goal in mind for a piece, or you just kind of let it direct itself as you're making it?
I like self-direction a lot of the time. There's these things that they use it a lot in digital art and like conceptual art, which I do a little bit of, that it's happy accidents. And like, you have an accident and you're just like,
moment of discovery.
Yeah, moment of discovery where you're like, it's the time that you concept this thing that you're just like, I had no idea that direction could come along. Like, and a lot of the things that I'm doing now, they have an end goal as I become more refined in my like progress with how I do art. I think that I have a lot of academia behind it now. I've taken classes to see. I have a critical eye now to see it. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was very raw with how I would kind of like just like throw paint on there and just
much more emotional.
Yeah, much more emotional, which I wish I could come back to. But now it's much more calculated. It's mm-hmm. much more minimalist. It's much more like this line is going to go here so that it can affect like the overall geometry of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. There's You're a lot of experimenting with technique and all that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much more technical with like every line that I put down. Now it's very minimal. It's a lot of line work with my large scale pieces, but every line that I put down, I try to balance and I try to have like some sacred geometry in it, a golden ratio or something that leads along. It's like a map. Like the collaboration that I'm doing is this like Nina Simone picture, and it's very beautiful that he's painted. But what I wanted to add to it is the fact that I could put lines in to have a roadmap around this visual representation of mm-hmm. Nina Simone, where it's like it's not detracting away from the piece, it's actually adding to it.
Yeah.
And your eye will lead along these lines to these different center points where uh-huh. you'll be like, okay. And there's a language to it. Now I'm doing that and my language is different, but it's very much my core being of how I want or why I want to do art. Is just that I need to express that. I need to have that, you know, kind of conduit for myself.
All right, Jesse.
All right.
What are you working on right now, Jesse? What projects are you got coming up? What kind of what do you got cooking?
Cooking in the oven. Right now, I am working on a couple of different mural, like a project that this woman from Sao Paulo is facilitating.
Brazil?
Brazil. And she's doing a bunch of stuff in Annapolis and then also in Brazil for the National Gallery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She wants me to be a part of it. So we're going to do a couple of different murals with Park Plaza and even BWI. We're going to be doing that. Brazilians are coming up. We're going to, you know, facilitate that. So that's really exciting.
Will there be an exchange where some of people from up here go down to Brazil?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing so far. I don't know. It's kind of mercurial right now where it's not, there's not a certainty to it.
Sure.
But there could be a possibility of that.
There's a level of interest.
Yeah, a level uh-huh. of interest.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing that that I'm working on is, like I was talking about, the Nina Simone with those minimalist lines.
Right, right.
So that's an 8-foot by 8-foot piece that I'm going to have in a gallery 1301 in Baltimore uh-huh. Station North.
Okay, nice.
So that's going to be around the October 10th frame, but it's a little bit there's not a solid date set for that yet.
Okay.
But those are the big two that I'm working on right now.
Oh, yes.
Great.
That project and the painting is kind of taking up most of my time.
And so, and if people are cruising around Baltimore or Miami, they might happen to see some of your artwork outside their windows.
Happenstance.
And
hopefully Annapolis too. So,
good.
You know, in Baltimore, it's Howard Street in Franklin. You'll see most of the stuff that we did. In Miami, it's like 21st and Miami Avenue. You'll see it uh-huh. on the side. And hopefully this December, going to put some more up. So
awesome.
And then in Annapolis, it's going to be the Park Plaza wall, like next to the second circle on West Street.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And then BWI. Everybody knows BWI.
Oh, yeah.
Thurgood Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall.
Uh-huh. Very good. Oh, very good.
Well, thanks a lot for coming out to the tree.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to thank Jesse James so much for coming out and joining us on People Are Strange.
Jesse James.
Thank you.
Yeah, we hope you had a good time.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, good.
You got drunk enough to enjoy the rest of your show.
There's so many natty buns.
Good. Well, we might have to get you on again somewhere down the line and check it back in with you.
But yeah,
we want to thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
All right.
Time's up. Get out!
Thank you for joining us for People Are Strange.
If you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook.
Subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes.
Email us, andyandjk@gmail.com.
And most importantly, tell your friends.
I'm Andy.
And I'm JK.
Be sure to check back with us next week for another exciting new episode of
People Are Strange.